Don't forget, this Saturday is our weekend coffee house, so it's a great time just for some relaxation and fellowship and just time to enjoy each other, which seems to be a rare thing in our life today because things are so busy in our life. And also, Mike was passing out, we have the study guide for Acts chapter 7 that we'll be beginning this Wednesday. We'll start this study guide. I really encourage you, if you can, to get it and read through it. Acts 7 is a little bit different, the same as this second this 22nd chapter of Samuel, where we're dealing with a whole psalm. Acts 7 deals with a speech of Stephen's, and it's his last speech he does to the Jews at that time. So it's a really interesting chapter. So I would encourage you to get the study guide. And if you have a chance this week, we kind of asked you to read the chapter in Acts and also in Hebrews 11. So if you make sure you grab that study guide on your way out. I want to do a review of Lynn's teaching last week. Her question was, how, when, and why is God wroth? And she started out with the definition. It's wrath. It's intensely angry, strong anger. She made a point to say that the Greek and the Hebrew word, their definitions are both the same. She also began by teaching that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. She did open it up for discussion, and Tracy started off in Romans, the first chapter, where it talks about God's anger against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and contention. Talked about that divine wrath, and it comes because of willful disobedience. Lori also brought out Proverbs, the sixth chapter, about the six things that God hates. The seventh is an abomination. And Lynn kind of said all of those things in Proverbs 6 is wrapped up in the word sin. And always sin is with that I in the middle. Talked also about that in today's Christianity, we don't really have a fear of God because we have such an understanding of him. But generally speaking, the world doesn't seem to have a fear of God. They just kind of feel like he's this loving God and it's all going to be okay. But we recognize through the scriptures, as Lynn taught last week, that God's mercy does have its limits. And he does have a response towards sin. But also, God set his commandments in place, and he is very clear about his expectation of his people, what is pleasing to him, and what makes him feel angry. She went back into Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and read that scripture that teaches us that if we hearken diligently unto God and that we observe and obey, that we have the promise to be set above all nations. She went on to read verses 2 through 14 that talked about the blessings that come to God's people who walk and live in obedience to him. And then she also encouraged us to read the following parts of the chapter because she read verse 15, talks about the other side. If we don't listen diligently and we are disobedient, and then what comes from that? And I think it went through the whole chapter, and she encouraged us to read that whole chapter in Deuteronomy. She also read in Deuteronomy that we fear God, and fear, as we know, is the beginning of wisdom. And that is a choice that we make, to seek God's wisdom. And we do serve God with joyfulness. We serve him with joyfulness. She went into Nahum in the first chapter and talked about how God is a jealous God. He's jealous of his people. He's protective of us. He wants to be watchful of us. That he is also slow to anger and great in power, and God judges and repays the sin of mankind, and he has power over all nature. Then she picked up in Romans, the first chapter, where Tracy had first began and talked about that wrath is revealed against the ungodly and the unrighteousness of man. And we talked how we see the wrath of God through both the Old and the New Testament. Talked about how mankind holds truth in unrighteousness, and that is thinking, you know, I don't really think God means that, or this is how I'm going to do it. Again, that's that lack of fear of God. But that we as a people look to God's word for our answers and our guidance, not our own self. We look to God for that. She brought out 2 Thessalonians about God's anger is righteous, and God will take vengeance on disobedience to the gospel. And we know that that can lead to everlasting destruction. We also touched on in Second Thessalonians about not receiving the love for the truth. And, you know, as mankind, we make our own choices to obey or disobey, to seek more for God. And our nature is something that we have to allow God to control, and that we seek God's nature that is full of love and full of truth. She ended in 2 Peter, the third chapter, about one day in the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and that God is not slack concerning his promises, and he is long-suffering toward all of mankind. He does deal with mankind, but he deals in a balance. He desires to see people come to repentance. He desires to allow that people allow him to change us from the inside out, and that is an individual choice. We obey because we love God, and we strive to walk godly, looking and desiring the coming of the Lord. And she talked about the prophecy of his coming and the judgment on this earth and mankind. We know that this old earth as it is, full of its sin and everything, is not going to stay the same. We do have a promise of a new heaven and a new earth, and we must be diligent and walk godly until all that comes to fruition. And again, she talked, closed with that love and that hunger for the truth is such an important thing for us as individuals seeking God. So good lesson on the wrath of God. And I do agree so much that in our world today, we don't hear so much about the wrath of God. And people don't have a healthy fear of God that we should have, that healthy fear of God. Good lesson. I really enjoyed listening to it. Any thoughts or comments before we jump into today's lesson? Okay, we are still in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. And we are in verses 9 through 16 today. The question reads, "The powerful move of God because of David's prayers. What do these scriptures tell you about the way in which God moves?" So in 2 Samuel 22, I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. It says, "There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. There through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils." Very, very descriptive words David uses here to show the way in which God moves. And the first thing that I want to say is that God moves exactly the way he desires and the way he sees fit in every situation. And again, these verses are very descriptive of God's power over David's enemies. In verse 7 here in 2 Samuel 22, it says, "David cried in distress unto God. God heard and responded in anger," as verse 8 tells us, to those enemies causing the distress in David's life at that time. God's anger or wrath, as Lynn taught last week, is shown by the way he responds to David's cry for help. And think how David's faith grew through these battles. Lynn taught on a Wednesday night, as I was catching up on some of the past teachings, about Stephen's faith and our own faith. She taught how it takes the adversity in our lives in order for our faith to grow. David learned and grew in faith through the battles in his life and the way in which God moved in his life. I want to go back up to verse 1 for just 1 second here in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. Just go back to verse 1 for a minute. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. I love the quote there. It says, in the day that the Lord had delivered him, he gave him thanks. It's so important for us to remember what God has done for us. Because David was moved by the Spirit of God to write these psalms, we have these psalms now for ourselves. And generations that will come after us will continue. And they've had it all this time. It is such an important thing as we go through these battles and we pay attention to the way in which God moves in our lives that we remember what God is doing because we learn from that. It is definitely a time of learning. So before I get too far, did anybody have any thoughts on these scriptures today on these ones? Because it's always interesting to read the Psalms the way David writes, you know, and the power that talks about the breath of his nostrils and fire and lightning. Any thoughts on these scriptures before I jump further into this? Anybody? Paul? We got a mic today?
Yeah, and Stein, I just picked up a little bit more about how tender and thoughtful and loving God is to everything that's going on in our life and every little prayer that we say that he listens to it all. And I went to Jeremiah about, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Amen.
I mean, there's nothing he can't do for us.
That's right.
If we're in, you know, if we're in obedience to his word.
You know, and as you read these words too, you see the power of God. You see his control of his creation. You know, so when we look at the words that David chooses to use here, describing God's power and his anger. So I want to read verses 9 and 10 again. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. That smoke and fire that is devouring and that kindling of coals, that's something that continues to burn. The bowing out down of the heavens and the coming down and the darkness under his feet. To bow the heavens and putting darkness under his feet, it makes the earth dark and the enemy can't see clearly in the dark. In verse 11, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of wind. That supernatural power of God to see where and how his spirit moves as he discomfits the enemies upon the wings of the wind. Wind goes where God directs it to go. He controls it. Verses 12 through 16. And he made pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were the coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them. I lost my place. Lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. God's complete control over his creation. The darkness that makes it difficult for the enemy to see clearly. Yet around him is the brightness of coals kindled. David could always see God when he looked for him. The thunders and the lightnings from heaven that certainly discomfit the enemy. The physical changes that happen on this earth through the blast of the breath of his nostrils. David certainly had a gift and an ability to write. And I think it's such an amazing thing to read these scriptures. It brings so many pictures into your mind. I'm going to go in. I stayed all in Psalms today. So do you have any thoughts or comments before I begin? I'm going to ask you that several times because I know sometimes I get talking and I don't ask you that, and I'm always curious to hear your thoughts. I want to go into Psalms, the 142nd Psalm. And as we're talking about today, about the way in which God moves in our life, and so kind of keep that in mind as we go through these scriptures. So in the 142nd Psalm, I'm going to read just verses 1 and 2 to start with. Psalms 142, verses 1 through 2. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I find it amazing and I find it humbling that God really listens to our prayers. He not only hears and he listens attentively to our prayers, but he takes action to begin answering those prayers. But first it takes, as David writes here, crying out, pouring out my complaint, showing or declaring before him any trouble. Verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Those times when we are overwhelmed and we don't see the snares ahead of us that others may have laid in our paths. When people fail us or hurt us or disappoint us, we can feel that overwhelmed. Verses 4 and 5. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. We will not know nor fully understand how God is our refuge until we are in that position. And every one of us have been in that place before. It is in those places and times that we learn to truly stand on God. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. My portion. Again, he gives what we need, when we need it, as long as we are living on this old earth. Verse 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutions. Excuse me. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Stronger than I, but not stronger than God. Never stronger than God. Verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountiful with me. Sometimes we can feel as if we are in a prison, and there is no way out. But once free from a battle, that is the time to praise and give thanks unto the one who brought you through the battle. Remember, David gave thanks in the day that the Lord had delivered him. Again, to be in a place surrounded by righteousness and a place where God deals with us bountifully. Life is full of changes. It's seasonal. Things will change. Battles will be difficult. Battles will be easier. But battles will always be consistent in our life. We are always going to have to fight something. It's just the nature of life. People without the Holy Ghost in the world have battles they fight. But we can see how God moves through those battles in our lives, and we can learn from those battles in our lives. Any thoughts or comments? I want to read the 116th Psalm. Psalms 116. And as you're turning there, because we've been studying David so closely, and we have learned so much from this man's life. We have learned both from his victories, but for me personally, his failures. We see the man in David, his shortcomings and his failures. We've watched him grow from a young, strong, simple shepherd boy to a strong, powerful military leader, one respected by the men he led, and we've watched him grow into a strong, powerful king and ruler over God's people through the battles that God allowed in his life. We've watched him be a king well-loved and respected by his people. And because David loved the people and he wanted the best for them, now we see David aging and coming to the end of his life. Yet he was a man that continually had trials and tribulations or battles all his life. And he chose to learn from those trials and tribulations. He chose to learn from those battles. When David faced battles, for the most part, he looked first to God and allowed God to show himself what he needed to do. He did not look around to others to place blame. He looked to God and then to himself. And that is a huge life lesson for all of us. We are no different. We will always have trials and tribulations or battles to fight while we walk in this land of the living. Sometimes it will be trials and tribulation of our own doings, same as David did at times, and sometimes it will be things other than that, out of our control. It can be an illness, either physical or mental. It can be loss of loved ones or jobs. It can be financial, or whatever God sees fit to allow into our lives. It can be trials and tribulations or battles in dealing with people, family, loved ones, brothers and sisters in God. But in every trial and tribulation, every battle, we have a choice of how we will deal with that particular trial or tribulation, same as David had a choice. We can step out of our own way and allow God to move in the way that he sees fit. Because God has something for us to learn about ourselves first and about him. And he teaches us by the way he moves in our life. Any thoughts or comments before I begin reading Psalms 116? So let's look again at Psalms 116. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 to begin with. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. He never gets weary of hearing us talk to him. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Ever been brought low by the things that have come into your life? We see David here as he begins this psalm in verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. There is something so wonderful in just being listened to, being allowed to tell God how you feel. It makes us feel valued to be listening to, and he's a great listener. We may not be right in how we feel, but then that is what we learn when we in turn listen to God. He has respectfully listened to us through our supplications, through our pouring out of our complaint, which he's totally fine with. But now we must respectfully listen to him. When the sorrows of death have compassed us and the pains of hell got a hold of us, when we find trouble and sorrow, that's when we call upon the name of the Lord. We beseech him, as David said, deliver my soul. And how does he respond? In what way does he move in our life? The same as he did with David here, with grace and righteousness and mercy. And like verse 6 says, the Lord preserveth the simple. That word means foolish. I was brought low or humbled, and he helped me. God helped David because David allowed God to help him by the way God chose to move in his life, to be humbled. David looked first to himself and what he could do. He did not look around to blame someone else. Go to verses 7 through 9 of this Psalms 116. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountiful with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Our soul can be restored to rest, even when a battle is not totally over. And God does deal bountifully with grace, righteousness, and mercy. He brings us to a point where our soul no longer feels like we're dying inside. Our tears have stopped for a time, and our feet are back on solid ground. Because like David, we learned grace, righteousness, and mercy for ourselves and then for others. Go to verses 10 through 11. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. David believed. He was afflicted. He felt beat down. And he spoke out in haste, all men are liars. Like David, we don't always see accurately. But God allowed him to say that. When David went to God in prayer, he told him how he felt. He felt afflicted. Is that me clicking in there? He felt afflicted. He felt like all men were liars. He felt that way. But in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What benefits toward him? What benefits did David get through seeking God? Grace, righteousness, and mercy. Even when he wasn't feeling correctly the way he was feeling. It was so good to go to God, to pour out my complaint before God. God is not afraid of our anger or our hurt. He's not afraid of it at all. And he's big enough to handle it for us. Verses 13 and 14. I will take the cup of the salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. David will in turn not only give out to the people what God has given him, grace, righteousness, and mercy, but he will live daily and walk in that grace, righteousness, and mercy. Because that is the lesson God had for him to learn. And David was humble enough to learn that lesson. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This seems so interesting of a verse right here in this Psalms, but if you think about it, David was well acquainted with death, and he understood how God feels about his saints. Their death is so precious to God because it reunites them with God. I want to finish reading verses 16 through 19. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bounds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise you the Lord. It takes humility to walk as a servant. And in that humility, it's God who looses us from our bounds, those enemies or those things that work to keep us captive and not free to grow. But in humility, seeing and understanding what God is trying to teach us by the way in which he moves in our lives, then applying those lessons God is teaching by the way he moves in our lives. When David said, I'm afflicted, all men are liars, he freely spoke to God how he felt. God listened to that, but what did God respond with? Grace, righteousness, and mercy. So now what is David to respond with? And even though he feels all men are liars, grace, righteousness, and mercy. We must continually offer thanksgiving unto God. By doing that, it actually changes the way we think and we feel. We must continually call upon the name of the Lord for guidance, paying our vows, as David said, walking uprightly before God and all people, continually showing God's praise by the way we live our daily life. Or as David says, as I walk in the land of the living. Any thoughts or comments? Paul?
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking about a lot of the things you said there about it. It builds your faith, but not only the impossible things that happen to us sometimes, God is the only one that can straighten them out.
Amen.
And not only so that builds our faith, but it also gives him glory.
Amen.
And the people around us to see these things that happen to us.
Amen.
And the way we interact with them is things that are witness to God. That,
amen.
That will draw people to God.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, there is never an easy battle. There's never a simple trial. There's never a little tribulation. They all hurt, and they all have impact. But we do make a choice. Did you want to say something, Sherry? We do make a choice of how we deal with those. Sherry?
Well, I thought a lot about this when I was reading it. And I was thinking back about all the different things that God has done in my life to show that he was there for me. And God doesn't take things that happen lightly.
No.
And you don't have to worry about it because mm-hmm. he is the one that's in control. And mm-hmm. whatever needs to be done, he does.
Yes.
And he does it in his time. It's yes. not ours.
Yes. I love the fact that as we go to God, and over here to Claudette, and we pray, and David, what did David say? I poured out my complaint. I told him exactly how he felt. He listens to that. He listens so attentively to us, and then he begins to take action to correct those situations or to do. He begins to move in the way that he sees fit for that situation.
Just a comment. I love the Psalms. They're so comforting for
Amen.
For us and you know where we live and what is going on in our life. And I just had a conversation yesterday with somebody about some difficulties they were having, and you know, the only answers that we have are God, and
Amen.
That's what I said. And I think the thing that I'm the most thankful for is that I can connect the dots of having a trial, going to God, and then having him answer that prayer. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we take that for granted. Mm-hmm. I don't think everybody always makes those connections, and that's where, you know, where they have trouble.
Right.
But I'm so thankful for that, that I can, you know, look in the Word. I mean, that He gave us the Word, and, you know, David so eloquently can state how we feel. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. And I think it's so important for us as people today, full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, that we look at our trials and our tribulations, our battles, the difficulties that come into our lives as an opportunity for growth in God. Not only growth as an individual in God, as a saint, but also a growth in growing closer to God. And it is so important, you know, I think each one of us can look back in our lives and see how did God move in your life to bring you here. It took a movement of God's Spirit that compelled you to move and respond. And as we grow, when you look back and think about being a young saint and think about some of those trials you had as a young saint, when I look back now, that trial looks minor to me. But when I was there, it wasn't minor. It was work. It was hard. But He had something for me to learn in each and every battle. And it was always something to learn about myself first. What do I lack? What can I do? Lynn taught on the fruits of the Spirit, and so much of that is in that one Wednesday teaching she did about, you know, lining ourselves up and seeing here is what a Christian, according to the Word of God, is. Full of the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name, a godly person from the inside out, 24/7, 365 days of the year. That takes work. We're just a natural person. We are far from spiritual. But when we get that Holy Ghost inside, here we go. We go on a path that we begin to be a new creature. God shapes us, informs us, and teaches us by the very battles that He allows in our life and the ways in which He moves in our life. It takes love, it takes faith, and it takes humility to grow in God. Look at King David, the man that he was. Look what we have learned about him. We have definitely learned from his victories, but more importantly, we learned from his failures. We can see the way God moved in David's life, and we can see the way David responded to the movement of God in his life. Each and every battle had its own lesson for David to learn. Each and every family situation, each heartache, each sickness, disease, death, they all had their lessons that David had to learn. He was a man after God's own heart because he humbled himself under the hand of God as God directed his life. He humbly learned what God was teaching him through the ways God moved in David's life. And each one can look in our own life and see the movement of God in our life that has created us to be the saint of God we are today. I want to read one last psalm, the 71st psalm. Any thoughts or questions as we're going to this psalm? Paul? Again, Psalm 71 before Paul speaks. We'll be there. Psalm 71, I'm going to read verses 14 through 24. Psalm 71.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the trials that we have are person-specific. I mean, we're in a process here of being perfected. And what a trial does for me might not do anything for the next person. So God knows exactly what kind of a trial we need to
that's right.
work in this purification process.
That's right.
And that's God is so cool.
Amen. God has an IEP for every one of us. Individual education program. I was one who, Sherry?
I was just thinking about, you know, what's going on in the world right now in this virus thing. And so far, as far as I know, no one in Alaska has it. And that doesn't mean that we won't have it here, but I just remember the prophecy, and it was a prophecy. It says, God said, I brought you to this place of safety.
Amen.
And I count on that.
Amen.
I know that it's true. He mm-hmm. told us that, and mm-hmm. and it is comforting.
Yes, very comforting. God's word is so comforting in what he's taught us, but I love to, especially I want to back up a little bit on this individual education program that God has for each one of us. He really does, because he is the one that knows us from inside out. He knows what I need. He knows where I lack. He knows my failures. So the way he's going to move in my life is going to create situations where I got to get on top of that. I got to get that particular fruit he's trying to teach me. I got to be that kind of person. It is an individual education program. And I think if we can really, 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 really keep that in our mind, we'll be more kind to each other. You know, maybe my individual education program seems like a walk in the park to you, but it isn't to me. It keeps me on my knees, and it's hard, and I work at it, and I try. And sometimes I fail, and I may come across short. I may answer you in a way that makes you feel bad. I don't mean to, and I'm sorry when I do. But if we give space to each other, give space. What did David get when he beseeched God, when he said, I'm afflicted, all men are liars? How did God respond? Grace, righteousness, and mercy. So now what is David to do? Does he still feel all men are liars? Probably. But how does he deal with those men? The way God dealt with him. Grace, righteousness, and mercy. We have to do that. It isn't, someone's always going to hurt your feelings. Someone's always going to cut you short. Someone's always going to disappoint you. It's going to happen. Get some shoulders. Take a breath. It's okay. Grow in the way you need to grow. Grow pleasing before God, because that really is when he kind of, like as David said, stops my tears, gets my feet back on solid ground. Okay, I'm a little stronger than I think. I can handle this. I can do this. What's he trying to teach me? What's my individual education program? Go. Is that hand going up, or is it just scratching? Did it went up? Yeah, okay. I usually don't catch it.
No, I was thinking about what you and Paul were saying, and it brought me back to this thing that happened this week. Like, there was just a moment, I don't know what was going on, but there was a moment where, like, this week I got a little frustrated, and I was just like, I'm never going to be, like, who I want to be, or that's whatever, right. You know, and all of a sudden, like, my scripture of the day popped up, and I was just thinking about the individual education plan thing. And the scripture of the day popped up, and it was like Philippians 1:6, where it says, like, he's begun a good work in you, and he'll keep going until he comes back.
That's right.
And I was just like, it was like the perfect moment, and it was exactly what I needed at that moment. And I was
Amen.
Just like, wow. And I sent it to Kirsten Inger, and I'm like, God is so cool. Like,
God is so cool. And God listens to us. And again, what I said earlier, when David got down to talk to God and he was afflicted and he was upset and he was angry, and God listened to him attentively, and then God answered him. And then David then had to turn and respectfully listen to what God was telling him. And what was he saying? David, you got to give the same grace I just gave you. David, you got to be righteous the same way I am. David, you got to give the same mercy I just gave you for your mistakes. Your shortcomings, David. I'm afflicted. I'm angry. All men are liars. He felt that way. Is it wrong to feel that way? No, it's normal to feel that way. But then what do you do? How do you handle it? How does God handle you? Does he say, I am so done with you. You have come to me 3 times this week with the same whiny complaint. He does not do that. He does not grow weary of us coming to him. He takes those opportunities and says, this is how we can do this together. See how I am with you? I'm graceful with you. See how I am with you? I'm merciful with you, David. See how I am with you, David? I'm righteous. I'm just. Now you have to go and do the same. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to go take care of it. All those men that are liars that used to talk to me, I'm going to go smoke them for you. He has an individual education program for every one of those liars. Okay? And he's a big enough God to deal with all of them. If he's going to deal with you, he can deal with them. So you got to trust God. Any thoughts or comments before I read my last psalm? I want to read Psalm 74, verses 14 through 24. I don't have favorite scriptures. Sometimes people say, what's your favorite scripture? What's this? I don't really have favorite scriptures, but I do have favorite scriptures at different times. And these verses in Psalm 71, I love. So in Psalm 71, starting in verse 14, and I'm going to read down through 24, and listen to these words as you read them along as I speak them out loud. I love these words. Like Claudette said, I am so grateful. God put it on David's heart to write these psalms. God gave him the ability, and he did it. And look at what these psalms, how they impact our lives today. Again, Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually. And I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I think this was a scripture that was read on a past Wednesday night. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, God's righteousness. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. How true that is for each one of us. God has taught us from our youth, and we certainly can declare the wondrous works he's done in our lives. Verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. All those things we learned, all those things. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depth of the earth. Great and sore troubles, they are a part of our life. But the way in which God can move in those great and sore troubles, we can grow. Verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Think about those words. Thou, God, will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. The movement of God has the ability to move from the inside out. To restore that soul. Verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. David knew he had no control over the ones that are out there to seek his shame and to hurt him. He only knew that he had to walk and talk in righteousness all the day long. I love those verses. Any last thoughts or comments of them? Because I am old and gray-headed. And I have had sore troubles like you have had too. But they've been great learning lessons. And I am grateful to be walking in a body of people that we all have great and sore troubles. And most of us are getting old and gray-headed at this point. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll grow into the people that God sees, a people victorious, a people that this world needs today. This world needs godly people. We are ones that walk godly through those sore troubles and those difficult times. That in itself is such a testimony to God. And Paul said that too. The way we walk and deal with the difficulties that come in our life, when we strive to walk godly and we grow through them, people see that. People can see that. It's not that we don't have lives that are difficult and challenging. Each one of us do. But look at them as an opportunity for growth. And a growth not only as an individual and a saint in God, but growing closer to God, growing closer to God. So, again, thank you so much for your participation. That helps a great deal. And if you'd like, join us downstairs for coffee.